So what day is Thursday, November 6th, 2025. This is Week and Charts. I just want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. I do a really poor job of getting the word out. Every week I say I'm going to fix that, but life happens. And actually this week death happened. So what a week. Anyway, this is last week's slide, but we're going to cover pretty much the same thing again this week. So that should be November 6th up there. And I'm going to spend a lot of time on the missing piece. I'm not going to talk about when I suck. I talked about that enough last week. Anyway, there's Flame Screen. As you know, you can lose money trading or as off to sum it up. All predictions are about the future and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. There's all my contact information. Obviously, shoot a screenshot. You can also reach me at dave@davelandry.com. Now, as I've been saying ad nauseum, the missing piece when I was getting started into trading was for someone to actually do it and show me what they were actually doing, as opposed to say, oh, look at this great trade I did. And what they're not telling you is how many really bad trades that they did that they don't bother showing you. And I've seen that happen with some of these so-called gurus out there. And it's a little disingenuous, but I was very blessed and very lucky in that, as I said in weeks prior, I was able to do some consulting with a hedge fund fairly early on. Without getting into details, but the guy he had before me, he would do the analysis, but he couldn't commit. And he liked the fact that I would do my analysis and that I would commit to a side of the market. He just needed somebody to pick a side and explain why and then go with it. But anyway, I digress on that part. You know, there was another gig that I was up for, and I got with another hedge fund, and they said, well, with Dave, you always know where you stand. He might not always be right, but he's going to let you know where he stands, and he's very definitive about it. So anyway, so I had the hedge fund, and then also had a trader that I was working closely with, and I got to see him trade and understand his methodology. And it was amazing to see someone actually trade and make money doing it. I think that's vitally important in your guru. It's one thing to talk about trading. It's another to actually do it after you talk about it. Anyway, let's get to the mystery charts and the methodology in action. I want to thank you guys on YouTube. Sorry about all the confusion and everything. I'm going to work hard to keep this live stream going on YouTube too. So this is a mystery chart. We're going to go ahead and reveal it this week. This is FLUX, Flux. And as I said last week, it was in a nice trend, began to accelerate in that trend, made a little bit of a minor double top, which is actually a good thing. It's a little on the bearish side, right? But sometimes when you have a bearish pattern in a trend, it could actually turn bullish on a trigger, okay? So the double top, and just let me explain that real quick. So the double top makes people think, oh, this thing is topped out. I better sell, and the shorts pile on. And in a case like this, when the right side's a little higher than the left, this traps in more people. Remember, as I preach, everything I do with technical analysis has a psychological backing to it, okay? So I'm reading the mind of the market through the charts. Now, in this particular case, when you get that right side a little higher than the left, it sucks in some more people, and then you get like a TKO move like right here, and that spits them out. And that's what I call a double top knockout. And it's a really good looking pattern. So nice little pullback, nice little TKO. And it's also a Landry Light pullback. That's where you have 10 to 20 bars of Landry Light above the 30 EMA. And the market comes down to kiss the EMA. Now, keep in mind that even if you have 10 to 20 bars of Landry Light, make sure you look at the chart, okay? And in this case, we had a decent amount of persistency, and we also had some acceleration. And there's two ways to look at the acceleration. You can look at this, the acceleration here going into the double top, and then the acceleration a little bit longer term. So that's a strategy in and of itself, which it's a pullback strategy. Everything I do except for maybe like buy a B and a CFM 10% system is pullback related, okay? So no matter what you call it, it's still a pullback, but there's different characteristics to the different patterns, like a TKO, for instance. Landry-like pullback, generic pullbacks, persistent pullbacks, etc. You could have certain characteristics from each one of those, and it could be several things. Like this is accelerating momentum. This is a double top knockout. This is a Landry-like pullback, and I guess you can call it generic pullback too if you wanted to. Anyway, it's got a lot of things coming together for it, and you can see the Landry-like goes down to zero again when you cross that moving average. There's the parameters. The entry was here, stop was here, initial profit target was up here. So let's see what happens. Not a whole lot. The stock begins to implode. So in a case like this, no capital is put into harm's way. As I've said ad nauseum, and it might happen on this one, 6 months from now, somebody's going to email me and say, Dave, I'm down 50% in that turd you recommended. I'm like, well, let me see. I was like, I would never recommend that. You're right. It looks like crud, right? And then he's like, no, that was way back in November or October. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I did recommend that, but it never triggered. So I am shocked. And we had a few of them this week, but I am shocked at how that simple little thing can keep you out of a lot of trouble just by waiting for an entry. All right, we have a couple of better than the Pocony Eye trades this week. And we also have a discretionary call. We'll get to that too. So this was ABCL. Again, nice little Landry-like pullback. All those things I like. And go back over the last several weeks, or go back about a month or two, and you can see when I first recommended it, I'll walk you through everything. By the way, all these mystery charts, or I'd say at least 99% of them, come directly from my trading service, DaveLearner.com/trading service. You can check it out there. You can look at the archives, DaveLearner.com/archives, and you can get the newer archives on YouTube. So if you want to go back 10 years or whatever, I don't know how many I have out there. I know if there's some holes maybe 5 years ago or 10 years ago, but there's a lot of them out there. So you can certainly get a feel for what's happening. And, you know, I put all this information out there for people to do their due diligence, and I guess nobody does it. And it's funny. And even those who do a little bit of due diligence, you know, they come in and then they quit within a week. And it's like, you know, you went through all the charts and you understand the methodology. You know, it takes some time or whatever. And so I just can't wrap my head around that, you know. And I've had people would email me day after day after day, and they watch that video, and they want to get in service. And then they get in and they last a week. And it's like, what happened, you know? And it might not have even been a bad week. So I don't know. But make sure you do your due diligence. And you can see it triggers on and kind of an opening gap reversal. Now, I didn't take the original entry on this one, and I try to mimic the service mechanically as much as possible, but I will use some discretion here and there. So an opening gap reversal like that, I won't actually take the original entry, but I later figured, like, well, I'm supposed to be long this stock, so I'm going to go ahead and get long when it began to rally. I think it was like on this day here, and kind of like a secondary trigger on that one. Now, notice there was a lot of dead money. It actually came down and it almost stopped us out. And I'm going to talk a little bit about following the plan in just one second. But the bottom line is you do want to follow that plan. Good men are indifferent. And what's the old saying? A bad plan followed well is better than a good plan not followed, and that holds true for trading. Anyway, because of the gap entry, we didn't get the full $1,000 on the trade, but $850, better than the poke in the eye. That's on a 100K account. Now, when you hit that initial profit target again, the stop comes up to break even. And then in this particular case, because it did follow through a little bit from where we took the initial profits. Okay, so take initial profit, stock to break even, or take initial profit, stock to break even, and then you trail it loosely on the remainder. And the idea is to try to hang on for a long, long time. And some of these, I was kind of surprised, go way back several months. And ideally, you want to be in these stocks several years or more. Anyway, so it just kind of meanders, then it drifts lower, then it begins to implode a little bit. It stops us out. So we got stopped out for a $300 profit. Now, this is much better than a poke in the eye. So you made a little bit over a grand, maybe 1,100, what's that, 1,150 or so. And that's per 100K. That's 1.1% gain on your account on a relatively short period of time. I know we're in this almost, I guess, 2 or 3 months, but that's still pretty good. If you make a percent, if you make, let's say, a percent and change, 1.3% over that short period of time, annualizing that out, it's not too bad. And if the worst you've ever did was the better in the poke and eye trade, you would own the world pretty quick, because sooner or later you're going to catch some of these big winners. Here's another better than poke in the eye trade. You can see nice uptrend remains intact there, and it almost pulls back to moving average, but close enough. A nice little pullback there. I just call that a generic pullback. And one thing about this stock, it doesn't have a tremendous amount of persistency, but if you'll notice, it tends to stair step higher. And that's another thing I look for, okay? Thrust, base, thrust, base, thrust, base. And it just keeps making these stair steps higher. And the theory is you get in that trend, okay? Trend follower, you're following in that trend. And hopefully, I know it's a word you shouldn't use, but hopefully it'll continue to stair step higher and you catch a nice little ride. So anyway, a little pullback there, not quite the moving average, but deep enough to be worth trading. There's all your parameters. Entry, stop, and initial profit target. So it triggers, doesn't do a whole lot at first. It kind of meanders back and forth, and you're in the plus and kind of in the minus here and there and breaking even. And then finally it does hit the initial profit target. Now, again, this one triggered slightly higher. I think it was a little bit of a gap on the trigger. So you made a little bit less than $1,000, but close enough. And let's follow up. Now, it did follow through a little bit. So, again, we trail that stop higher, and then we get stopped out. And that's okay. And I'm, you know, the old me would get all pissed off when I get stopped out, even at a profit or something like this. And the new me is like, next, you know, let's move on. Okay. That worked for a while. This was a biotech stock, I think. And biotech still looks pretty good, but this one, not so much anymore. And you just let it go. You just forget about it and you move on quickly. Now, this was not a mystery chart, meaning that it triggered before I did a show. So if there's open trades, like I just showed one a little while ago, a potential open trade, I almost said the symbol. Then I put it in here as a mystery chart. So this was in between shows. But if you look at the archives, youtube.com/Dave Landry, and then once you get there, go to the Core Trading Service playlist. I put that list up there for my international clients who don't speak English as their first language. And even with my Kunas speak, YouTube does a pretty good job translating me, surprisingly. And there's another program out there wants me to pay tons and tons of money to translate my videos through AI. And I'm like, YouTube does it for free. So anyway, so if you're not in English speaking as your first language, the YouTube translates it very nicely. Also, it's based on numbers, right? You enter at this level and that level and take profits and trail a stop. All of that is laid out for you in numbers. So it should be able to follow the plan, which we'll talk a little bit about in 1 second. So here's a stock, kind of in a gradual uptrend, kind of hugging that 30 EMA. Great pattern. It's 30 EMA is my favorite moving average. I know you want to party with me, but it's a really, 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 really useful tool. As a general statement, now every now and then you're going to deep pull back, but as a general statement, never buy a market that's below the 30 EMA. And that one little piece of advice just paid for your webinar right here. Especially since it's free. Anyway, nice little pullback. Not quite the moving average, but a decent little pullback nonetheless. And there's the parameters down below, KYTX. So entry, protective stop, initial profit target. So it triggers. And if memory serves, if you go in and look at the old webinars for the weekend charts, or even better, you can go to my YouTube channel and look at the methodology in action. And that's where I show all these mystery charts and all these stocks that are recommended and what they did, good, bad, and indifference, warts and all. Okay. And that's the thing that you're not going to get. And I'm not going to, whatever, but from a lot of the gurus, they're going to show you, they're going to cherry pick their trades. And I show you everything. So, and believe me, you will have losses. There will be blood. Anyway, so I did hit the IPT. We banked the 1,000. The stop comes up to break even. And it just barely nicked that stop. Exactly. In fact, I've got an email out or actually asked my clients if anyone actually did get stopped out on this one. If you did get stopped out, please let me know. Because if you didn't, we can continue to follow the trade if you like. But I am still in it, and I'll show you that right now. Oh, anyway, that's a better than poker DI trade. You made $1,000. You got stopped out at a scratch. And again, if that's the worst you did, you would be doing pretty good. I'm trying to get used to this new software. When it comes to updating software, you have to pry it from my old dead hands. I think I had a TC telechart that was like 10 years old. And finally, one day I had technical difficulties with it, and they said they couldn't believe I was still using it. I'm like, you know what? Just forget about that. You're going to have to upgrade, Dave. Anyway, let's keep going. Now, when it comes to using discretion, it's not throwing caution to the wind. I talked to somebody who's like, I was in this position and it would never let me out. It's like, well, you got to get out at some point. You can't just keep holding on. And hoping, hope as in birth control. What's the old saying? It's like I got it from Tom McClellan, and it was from his brigadier general or whatever. In war, hope as in birth control. Well, how's that go? It's not a plan. So hope is not a plan. Dang, I wish I knew exactly how he said that. It's much more eloquent. But yeah, hope is not a plan. So anyway, you can see 6:30, stop with 6:30. And when it hits it exactly like that, you know, take a deep breath, give it a little bit of wiggle room, okay? And what you could do is maybe set an alarm. Let's say your stop is at 6:30, set an alarm at 6:40 or six, and then maybe another one at 6:35, then one at 6:30, just to make sure your phone starts lighting up and you get some alerts coming in. Now, this is if you're more disciplined, okay? And not like the aforementioned gentleman that says this position would never let me out. Well, yeah, it'll let you out any day you want to get out, okay? It's not doing anything to you. You are not allowing yourself to get out of that stinker position, okay? So anyway, you could see that it did an exact stop nick on this one, so I decided to stay with it. Again, you're not throwing caution to the wind. We've had a few... Cypher, I think, was one of them. Although it's getting whacked today. We had a few recently that weren't exactly cut and dry on whether or not you should stay with it. If I have a stop at 6:30 and it exactly hits that stop, just kind of nicks it, then by all means, stick with the position. So we'll see how this one shakes out. Now, keep in mind, every decision you make comes with a consequence. Okay. Every decision you make comes with a consequence. So this thing could gap lower tomorrow and you lose 50% of your money or whatever, or this position. It happens, all right? But so far, knock on wood, so good. We have another mystery chart. And this one has all the makings of a really good looking trade. You can see, what does it do? It thrusts, pullbacks, thrusts, pullbacks, thrusts, pullbacks. Makes that little stair step higher, like I just said, okay? Rinse and repeat. And you hate to use the word hope, but hopefully that pattern will continue. You've got persistency. Look at the Landry light. This thing has not touched the moving average in about 60, 70, 80 days or so. And then it pulls back the moving average. The Landry light goes to zero when that happens, okay? And that's kind of a TKO within a pullback, okay? And then again, all these things I preach about, ability to trade cleanly, okay? Acceleration, persistency, this stock has everything. This is what I would jokingly say is college fund worthy. Put all your grandkids or kids' college funds into this one stock. Please don't do that. Anyway, there's all the parameters down below. There were two setups on that day. I think I just showed the other one. Entry there, stop there, initial profit target up here. Let's see what happens. And so far, nothing. It has not triggered yet. So we'll wait and see what happens. Here's not a mystery chart update. It triggered in between shows, like I said earlier. But you can see it accelerated higher very nicely. And then lots of Landry Light. It pulls back fairly deeply. A little bit deeper pullback than it looks like in that chart because you have to back the chart out. Maybe go back a few weeks and watch some shows or just plot it yourself. But there's the parameters down below. We had KYTX on the same day, which we'll go, which I think we just went over a minute ago. Yeah, that was the discretion because look, the entry was here at 630. We hit the initial profit target of 780. Stop comes up to break even. Remember when that happened? So the stop was at 630. It hit 630 exactly. Now, I was away all day yesterday at a funeral, and I didn't get a chance to check to see if the stop, I didn't get to check the time and sales. So if anybody has time and sales for yesterday, I don't know if I have more than one day in time and sales. I think, I don't know if I even have a full day. So had I been in front of the screen, I could have watched the bid, the ask, and figured out if there were even any trades or, you know, like one time we were in one and there were, I don't even know if there was actual trades there. There was a print like right at that stop. So I don't know if this was just a little print at the stop and, you know, like 50 shares or an odd lot or something. But technically, yeah, that's a stop, okay? But that's where you could use a little discretion to stick with it. So I'm not sure about what happened there. But anyway, before I digress too far, there's the parameters, entry, protective stop, initial profit target. Let's see what happens. Now, this does not happen often, but when it does, it's like butter. And this is where you got to pay attention. And I know a few of you guys missed it, so I don't want to rub salt in your wounds. And believe me, I missed trades like this before too. I recommend something to actually miss it. That's very frustrating. But this is a beauty when it's Butte Clark. When they trigger like this and then you hit that initial profit target the same day, this is what we live for, right? Stop goes to break even. Now, all you have to do is sit back and relax. I know, haha. And let things shake out. And so far, so good on this one. 4,200, and that's 184% open. And where are we today? So I think we're over 200% open at the moment. And like I said earlier, okay, you know, better than poking eye, right? $1,000 or 1% on your account. And you got a chip in a chair. You got a chance to make a lot of money on the remainder of the position. And especially when you're trading a low price issue like this, let me just see real quick how many shares. Okay, I have 1,200 shares left. So that means I originally bought 2,400 shares in the model account for this stock. So if this stock keeps on keeping on, let's hope it does. I know I just said hope, but let's hope it does. 1,200 shares is going to be a fairly significant position down the road. And that's where you make the real money. Now, very important to follow the plan. Okay, what did I say earlier? A bad plan followed well is better than a good plan not followed, okay? So if you have a stop at a certain level and you decide that, well, I've been in this stock for 3 weeks or a month or whatever, and I know I'm not stopped out, but it's dead money. I better just get out. No, follow the plan. Shorter term, micromanagement pays off. Longer term, it'll never pay off. I guarantee you, if you micromanage yourself out of a position, sooner or later, you're going to come in the next day and it's going to be up 30, 40%, maybe even a buyout or something. It'll happen. I swear to God, it'll eventually happen. Anyway, there's all the parameters, KGC. We've been in this one for a while, since May. Entry, stop, initial profit target. Now, this was a gold stock, or still is a gold stock, and golds were hot back then. And they've recently cooled off a little bit, but so far we're still with it. And if gold can make that one more thrust higher or maybe multiple thrust higher, we're still along for the ride. So it was dead money there. Let's see. You got in May, June, July, August, Monday, Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, it's like 3 months of dead money where you're either above water or below water, certainly not making a whole lot of money. And then eventually it hits the IPT. What happens then, right? No longer dead money and stop comes to break even, okay? Now you just trail that stop and you let it gradually loosen up over time. You let it loosen up by moving it in the same direction of the stock, but with a little bit less a little bit less than a one-for-one basis, okay? And there's two things you can do there as I preach. One, I would call gaining ground, okay? Let's say the stock goes up 3 points. You might only bring your stop up 2 points. So now your stop has widened up by 1 point, has widened by 1 point, and you've gained 2 points of ground. Now, should it stop out, barring overnight gaps, you're 2 points richer based on that stop than you were the day before. By the way, and I'm as guilty as anyone, okay? But be really careful not to mentally monetize your positions. Now, I had one, it was the IPO, I think it was MCTX, and it might have been Cypher a few days ago, too. Oh, MCTA and Cypher a few days ago, where it was just going bonkers and straight up. I did scale out a little bit because I was mentally monetizing. If ever you find yourself mentally monetizing where you just have all these huge profits over a very short period of time, then it's okay to lighten the load a little bit by a few hundred shares. So you put a little money into your account. But be super duper careful mentally monetizing. So as of earlier today, we had 4,800 open or 60% based on the position move. So far so good. We'll see what happens. And this one came dangerously close to stopping out. And that's why you want to follow that plan. Here's another gold stock way back in May again. What do we have here? Thrust, pullback, thrust, pullback, thrust, pullback. Monday, Thursday, Wednesday. Nice uptrend, okay? And kind of a cool little pattern here. Langelite pullback there. Another Langelite pullback here. Stock trades cleanly. It accelerated higher in its last move higher. It persists. Tends to go up day after day after day after day. Has a nice little orderly correction. It trades cleanly, okay? And, you know, my wife, whatever, as I've said many times before, it's like whenever there's some sort of repair or something, she has a lot of confidence in me. And I'm pretty handy. I will brag on that, admit that. I'll brag that. But whatever it is, she has a lot of confidence in me. And she's like, all you got to do is just, you know, like turn your little wrench, cinch up that pipe, and it'll stop leaking. And, you know, before you know it, I got a broken pipe on my hand and all this other stuff. So a lot of stuff is easier said than done, believe me. But when I look back at these recordings, when I can't sleep at night, you know, I could see, in as I'm looking at these charts now, I could see how obvious the pattern was and how it was there. Okay. I'm not trying to make it sound easy, but it's not nearly as hard as people try to make it. I met the brother-in-law, or I knew him, but I got to know him a little better, of my best friend who passed, and we were talking markets, and after the funeral, obviously. And you know, he's like, well, I used the MACD and I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, and I got the scanner. It's like, you're doing way too much. Okay, just look at the charts and look for the basics. Look for stocks that trade cleanly, look for acceleration, persistency, stair step, all these things I preach. That's all you got to do. And the hard part is sitting on your hands in between. And believe me, I do a lot of sitting on my hands. Unfortunately, we could be entering one of those phases fairly quickly. Things are kind of dynamic at the moment, literally at the moment. As a young kid say, literally, which is stupid. So this one triggers and once again becomes dead money, okay? You're in the stock 2 weeks. You're losing money. It's not that far away from the stop. Might as well get out. And as I said last week, I have plenty of stories where I micromanage myself out of the mother of all winning trades. You'll do that once, right? Well, hopefully not too much. So it takes like a month to get back to break even, but that's okay. Follow the plan. A bad plan followed well is better than a good plan not followed at all, right? So you bank 1,000. What happens then? Stop comes to break even. And let's see what happens. Not much. It becomes pretty bad dead money for a while, but you're not stopped out. Just forget about it, okay? And the great thing is you're free rolling, as Charlie Kirk the trader says, after he looked at my money management. You're free rolling, okay? And so That means that barring overnight gaps, the worst you could do is break even. You're sort of playing with the market's money, so to speak. Let it ride. Let's see what happens. Let's roll the dice, okay? Well, you're not rolling the dice, so to speak. I guess you are. You're free rolling, but the thing is, there's nothing to do. And if you're watching every tick, I can all but promise you, you're going to do something, and you're going to micromanage yourself out of the position. Now, this one, like the rest of the golds, came dangerously close to stopping out. So far, so good. Knock on wood. Come in. I need some new jokes. Here's the cipher that I was just talking about. You can see, pulls back. And this is an older chart, but this one actually, let me just go through this real quick. This was left over. This one actually stopped me out, or actually hit the stop, but I stayed with it. It was a bit of a discretionary call. Yeah, there it is right there. So it stopped out for 388 gain on the remainder. And I did stay with this one. This is a little bit more discretionary call. So it just kind of barely hit that 30 EMA and bounced off. In hindsight, so I see what happened. So what happened, had I adjusted the stop on this particular day, or I would have not put it above the 30 EMA. But what happened was, when this stock was running higher, the stop was trailed higher and ended up being above the 30 EMA, which would be down the road, even the 30 EMA. So that's what I was looking at there. But if you're looking to do a little bit of discretion, like, okay, Dave, this thing went like 30 cents past the stop. I don't know how much wiggle room to give it. Well, look at where the 30 EMA is. And if 30 EMA is right there and not like 3 points away, then by all means, let it go down and test that 30 EMA. I'm shocked at how many times the market will find support at 30 EMA. Anyway, better than the poke of the eye on that one. Like I said, and I did stay with that one. So I gave it a little bit of wiggle room, okay? And today, notwithstanding, it's getting whacked pretty hard, but it's been on a pretty good run as of late. I think it went on to make new highs. Anyway, all right, that's it for the methodology in action. I'm going to skip over the Landry 100 this week, but we still have quite a few stocks in the Landry 100 that are doing really, really good. This one's still in there. USAS is gold stock. It was up over 500% last week. The opening gap reversals, as I've said ad nauseum, what you want to do is you want to make sure all these things I talk about, persistency, acceleration, ability to trade cleanly, you want to make sure you have all that working for you. And either you want a stock in a pullback already, or a stock that makes brand new highs and then gets whacked, just like this one here. That's kind of a textbook example, but this was an actual trade from a few months ago. I forget what stock it is, but if you go and look at the weekend charts, again, look at the methodology in action playlist, and you'll see that particular trade. Anyway, this is LUMN, and I'm not going to go into a lot of details this week with everything going on, but I did want to show you the trade. And you can see that everything I just said, what did I just say? Acceleration, persistency, ability for the stock to trade cleanly. I mean, look at the stair step of this thing. Goes up, retraces, goes up, retraces. Look at this entire trend. You had zero bars of downside Landry light, okay? The last one made 39 bars. And then you have a gap lower. And in this particular case, it has plenty, plenty of volume. Usually kind of just the opposite of what I'm looking for in a position trade with these opening gap reversal trades, these ogre trades, is you're looking for plenty, plenty, plenty volume, or actually sometimes a big cap stock actually works better. And you're looking for, in general, a well-known stock, okay? So we'll trade a lot of stocks that you've never heard of. I've never heard of half the stocks that I've traded, okay, until I actually trade them. But with the opening gap reversal, you want a lot of institutional support in there, or whatever, maybe institutional dumping. You want a very crowded playing field, because when that gap comes in, you want everybody to run for the door at the same time. And when it reverses, it's quite possible that retail was knocked out and institutions come back in to beat the VWAP or whatever, to push the stock back higher. And also the market makers are going to drop that stock as low as they can to, if you want to sell them your shares, they're like, well, I'm, you know, you want me to hold the bag? You know what's in that bag, huh? No, no, thank you. But I tell you what, let me drop the stock 30% and I'll buy it from you from a 30% haircut. Now, he's got to bring that stock back up to make money. And sometimes he gets burned on these things. But essentially, you're kind of playing on the side of the market maker, and we had a nice little reversal back higher. Now, the reason I'm showing you this one in particular is because I did put it out on October 31st. And this is in the Facebook group, Dave Landry's Trend Traders. Group is free, but not free. You have to be a member of Dave Landry's. You have to be a gold member of DaveLandry.com at least, or a service member. So I threw it out, LUMNOGRE. If I throw something out in the group, I'm likely to take it myself. I say likely, just not to pin myself down. But usually if I throw something out, I'm seriously considering it. Anyway, it looks like Charles jumped on. He jumped in at 9.950. That's a pretty good day trade. And don't run out and day trade and be like the rat going for cocaine in and out, in and out, in and out, you know, all day. That'll make you crazy, believe me. But these opening gap reversals sometimes, like I said, I think it was last week or week before, sometimes it could be like a Ron Popeil, set it and forgive it, forget it, Showtime Rotisserie 2000 chicken cooker, you know, because you could put your entries as a stop entry order. And once that enters, if it doesn't enter, you go about your life. Okay. If it triggers, not enter, trigger. If it doesn't trigger, go about your life. If it triggers, then you put in an IPT for half and a trailing stop for half. And if that IPT is hit, your trailing stop is already at break even automatically. I don't believe in trailing stops longer term, but for intraday trading, they're like butter. So I forget exactly the parameters I use on this, but I did trade a lot of options on it. In one account, I went with outright shares. And in this particular account, I think I might have bought a few shares, but when I looked at the options, I felt like they were reasonable. Now, I use the word feel. Options are really, really, really tricky. And you could study implied volatility and options models and everything else, but everyone has that, okay? But if you're eyeballing a stock and say, okay, I could, if I had to trade this, I'd probably need a half a point stop or a 1 point stop, whatever the case may be. If you could buy an option for a lot less than that, and you think it has the potential to possibly double, okay, if you get something at 25 cents, you think you can go to 50 cents if the market rallies up, 50 cents or 40 cents or 30 cents, whatever it takes, then by all means go after it. So I have a pretty good feel for options, and in that feel is nothing magical. It's just looking at the stock, looking at the option, and asking myself, can the stock move far enough in a given amount of time? Now, these were expiring options, okay? These were technically zero DTE options. So can the stock move far enough to make it worthwhile? And I always put in a 2x order. Now, I did a lot of trading here. I think this was like a 2x order. And in some cases, I did a rollout. And sometimes when I'm rolling out, I will buy the new position first if everything's still moving. And then I'll look to roll out of the old position at a somewhat higher price. Not all the time, but sometimes I'll get lucky in that on the first position, like these 8.5 calls, I think I got a double on that. So after I had a double, took off half of them, and then those started getting deep into the money, okay? And it was just too much money to give up because an option could evaporate on you really quick, as you know. So in a case like that, I'll roll them out and I'll buy something a little further out, maybe one strike out, and then I'll keep the original position, but I know that I have to get out of it if it backs up a little bit, or if it begins, or hopefully it'll rally enough to have paid for the one that I rolled out on, okay? It just doesn't happen that often. I mean, if it did, my share size here would be much, much bigger. Now, in a case like this, keep rolling out will work until it don't. But in a case like this, what I did was these out-of-the-money options were pretty cheap. I was sitting on a pretty good profit. And I didn't think the 10s would pay off, right, when I did it. And I bought some 10.5s just for S&Gs. And I spent, you're not going to believe how much I spent on those. I spent $20 on those. Okay. So I was sitting on $500 in profits. And I'm like, you know, those little out of the money 10 fives, I'll go ahead and buy 10 options for S&Gs. Now, I don't know if I actually bought 20 and flipped out 10. I think I might have done that. So that might have been a free position. But you can see about $500 after this. This is a $20 loss here. So almost $500, a little day trade. I did trade shares only in another account. I got one broker just they don't like me trading expiring options like this for whatever reason. I guess they think I'm going to forget to get out of them. So here was an ogre from a while back. You can see ogre there. And then it did make another ogre a few days later. And that's was in the group too. All right, let's shift gears and go to crypto. Let's take a look at Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin's been a bit of a disappointment. I walked in the gym day before. And this is a guy who's a huge fan of Bitcoin. I think he's got all his retirement in it, which is probably not a good idea. But he's either going to be extremely wealthy or not. but he's got way too much in Bitcoin, and he's really counting on it to work out. You know, and I hope it does for him. But 2 days ago, he was like, it's really down low. I don't think I'm going to buy more. I'm like, buy on the way up, not on the way down. Okay. Buying the way down is great as long as it comes back, okay? As long as it comes back. It's kind of like whenever we go into bear markets, every now and then I'll see a blog or somebody out there like an option that never expires. And it especially like in a big cap stock that's at really low levels, okay? So it's like you buy the stock and the worst could happen is it goes to zero if it's in the single digits or whatever. But it's still you still can lose all of your money. That's what you have to remember. And as long as it comes back, you can keep buying the dip, okay? But that's a big if, okay? That's the key phrase of that sentence is as long as it comes back or comes back. Anyway, you've got tons of overhead supply. So anybody who bought above where we are now, all the way up to 125, might be looking to get out of break even when the market comes back up, okay? It's human nature. People tend to sell on the way up and just hold on the way down until they're forced out. And that's why sometimes the market gradually rolls over and then accelerates lower, right? It's like as the market is kind of rolling over a little bit, people think, oh, it's a bargain, you know, like my little friend in the gym. But hopefully he's not watching. No, hopefully he is watching. Maybe he can learn a lesson. Anyway, as I've said ad nauseum, sometimes when crypto is moving, especially if Bitcoin's doing well, you could just come in here and buy some of the strongest pairs and hold on for dear life. No, use money management, obviously. Now, I'm not a big breakout player. Like this would be, I think if Bitcoin was doing well, that'd be so-so. It's kind of a wide and loose type of chart. But anyway, sometimes, again, you can just buy the ones that are headed higher. Yeah, look at this. See a nice little pullback here. So that one's done really well. But anyway, there's not a whole lot of new action to take in crypto. And truth be told, I really haven't been doing my homework as much as I should in crypto with Bitcoin doing as poorly as it has been. It's much easier to make a lot of money in these shit coins when Bitcoin is doing well. Anyway, any questions? Anybody want me to look at any pairs in crypto? All right, let's shift gears and get to stocks. All right, let's go to sectors. Okay. Now, as I've been saying, or as I said yesterday today in the market in a minute, 2 days ago, whenever I said it, any additional weakness from this pullback would be of concern. And now today is a little bit concerning because we've pulled back in. This is the S&P. It's at this prior little breakout level. NASDAQ composite, same sort of action happening to you. good to see, let's not focus too much on the micro, but good to see it finding a little support after tagging that prior base. So that's very important that we don't come back into that base, or as the kids say, metals and mining. As I said recently, you've got this little pullback in here. It's taking that pullback out, so it's beginning to look somewhat questionable. Some areas still are fairly strong there, like lithium. Gold so far has held the pullback low. Ditto for gold stocks. So far, this deep pullback, they're holding the low. But check back often. So we're long KGC and TFPM, and they both pull back a little bit. We didn't get stopped out, but I think KGC was like almost really, really close, almost stopped us out. Anyway, so we'll see. And that's the thing when you're trading these trends, right? Where do we get in? We got in back in May, okay? So thrust, pullback, thrust, you know, consolidation, thrust, pullback, thrust, pullback, thrust, pullback, thrust, pullback. At some point, it's going to end badly, okay? But we've been hanging on since May, and we're up 100% or 60%, whatever the case may be in those. So any additional weakness, again, would be of concern. So I think now the easy part might be over for a while, okay? You know, we kind of reached that point where it kind of reminds me a little bit about 1999. And whenever that happens now, it scares me. Whenever you can't wait to wake up to see how much money you made, you know it's getting a little frothy. The fat lady is, she's not saying, but she's waiting in the wings. Or she's finishing up her wings so she can come out and sing. That's silly. IBB, biotech. Biotech's been in a great trend. It's one area that's really hanging in there. And in spite of the market getting whacked fairly hard today, it's pretty much in Flatsville. So that's kind of interesting there. Like I just said, we got knocked out of our biotechs. Some areas like software breaking down a little bit. They went sideways for a while. Now they're breaking down. If you're trained in classical technical analysis, you might notice this is a big picture head and shoulders pattern possibly in the works. And I think there's a psychological backing to that pattern. There's some patterns out there in classical technical analysis that I would never use because I can't wrap my head around them. But a head and shoulders makes a lot of sense, especially if the right side is a little higher than the left, because people think, ooh, it's going to go back to old highs. I better get in while it's still on sale, and they get trapped in the market. Always think about the other players. Always make sure at least you think there's a greater fool, somebody to buy it higher than you, okay? And then always ask yourself, am I the greater fool? If you guys want to look at any stocks, start punching them in now. Still trying to get used to this new software. You use something for 10, 20 years, and then they change it completely up. I don't get it, but I'm old. I'm from the 1900s. Anyway, defense has pulled back. It still looks pretty good longer term. It did pull back into its prior pullback. I don't like when a market does that. I do have one client that does a lot of research, and that doesn't bother him as much based on his statistical research. But I just don't like it. To me, it's certainly not a positive for a market to do that. He seems to think it's not as bad as I think, and that's fine. But maybe we can agree to disagree on that. I just don't like when a market does that. But if you back this chart way out longer term, maybe like look at a weekly chart. You know, the weekly chart is like, this market needs a break, okay? A little bit of a TKO on the weekly, that's defense. So that looks okay. But make sure you wait for entries on that. We were long KTOS, okay? And this is why we use stops, okay? We got stopped out of KTOS probably like right on this bar here. And you can see it's since really imploded from there and gotten fairly ugly. And that's fine. I mean, we were along for a pretty good ride. I want to say we entered back here. You can go in and look at the old shows or look at the archives to see that. Semiconductors, so far, just pulling back. And like some of these other areas, like the market itself, coming back down to tag that prior little breakout. As long as this holds, I think this is actually good and healthy for this market, this sector, however you want to look at it. For shake out some nervous Nellies at all-time highs, everybody's happy, and then shorts tend to confuse the issue with facts. Oh, the semiconductors have a PE of 153. I've never seen it that high. I'm going to short them. You're like, well, you might be right, but you might not. And if you're not, you're going to get squeezed down the road, because a short, if a market is overvalued at 375 round numbers, then let's say it turns around and goes right back up, goes to 400. Well, it's even more overbought or more overvalued at 400. And that's kind of the mentality of most shorts. And I do short markets, but not to get rich, just to keep me on my toes. And it helps you to see both sides of the market, as I preach. And I've done plenty of presentations to short or not to short. You can search for that on my website. TLT, the bonds, they're looking a little questionable. They've been wide and loose and working their way higher, but then recently they've sold back off again. So that is no bueno. Take a look at the Rusty. The Rusty was bouncing off the bottom of his range yesterday, and now it's returned back to it. As long as the bottom of the range holds, that's fine. But I sure would like to see it take out the top of the range and keep on keeping on. Take a look at the weeklies on these. You know, now's the time to start looking at your weeklies. And weeklies still look pretty good in most areas. But the easy part is over, as I said a few minutes ago. It's going to be a little tougher now. Like yesterday, as I preach, when I spend a long time going through dozens and dozens and dozens of stocks, you know, I start off with 1,000, 1,200 or so, and I whittle them down. I've got about 200 stocks, and then, you know, I might get down to 20 or 30. And if I like 20 or 30 stocks, or even 12 or 15, I really like them, and I start whittling down further, and I was like, well, shoot, I like at least a half a dozen of these. Let me just keep going through them until I figure out which one, two, or three that I want to trade the next day. And if that takes me a long time, then I know it's a really good market to be trading. Conversely, like yesterday, it's like I really didn't see a whole lot of new stocks. And I was actually kind of shocked. I thought something might have been wrong with the software, because I only had a few flagged that I was copying over to my momentum list. I keep the Landry 100. That's a subset of my momentum list. And then I'll just keep, it's like my old Landry list or part of the momentum list. And every now and then I'll clean it up. And I had about 300 stocks in that momentum list, and I whittled them down to about 150 or less a few days ago. But if I go through that final momentum list and I'm seeing tons and tons and tons of stocks, then I know it's a good time to trade. But yesterday, I only ended up copying a few of them over. So let me just rewind for a minute to those of you who don't know me. I look at a lot of stocks every day, a lot of charts, okay, upwards of 1,000 plus or whatever. And that gives me a good feel for markets. I see reoccurring patterns. And if I'm, again, seeing a lot of setups and flagging a lot of stocks, and then my analysis then becomes, okay, how am I going to choose the best from all these great stocks? And then I just got to have to keep whittling down. Again, I know it's good markets. But yesterday was not one of those days. Anyway, I think you get the idea. Lithium within the metals looking okay, but it's starting to lose a little steam too. It's starting to look a little toppy. So I would be careful, and I wouldn't rush out and take a whole lot of new action. Listen to the database. Let's see if we start getting some longs again. You know, maybe if today's correction finds a little support in this base, maybe we'll start seeing a lot of setups again. But a lot of stocks are getting hit, and there's kind of a vicious sector rotation happening. Like defense, for instance, has gotten whacked pretty hard as of late. Still in a trend, but getting whacked. And so let's see if this is just a correction, or let's see if the start of something bigger. And that's the thing with trend following, is there's a lot of let's see. Okay. Right now, I think we're back into let's see mode, wait and see mode. And let's wait and see if this is a rollover. And so far, I don't think it is, but there's certainly some signs out there. There's reasons to be cautious. A week ago, I felt a whole lot differently than I do now. And that's where you can't let your success during good times make you feel like it's going to carry over the bad times. I think it's the five most dangerous words on Wall Street. I've actually done some writing on this. But it was working so well. Six most dangerous words. And that's many of the epitaphs on the tombstones at the cemetery at the end of Wall Street have that on them. I've never seen the cemetery. Has anybody seen the cemetery? I've been down to the trading floor once. Kevin Haggerty's son took me down there, and that was a lot of fun. I got to follow him around, and I learned a lot on the floor. It was a blast. But I didn't think to go look for the cemetery. Like, where's the cemetery? And wasn't there a tree on Wall Street? Is it still there where they used to trade stocks before the exchange opened? Anyway, I'm filibustering a little bit here, as you can tell. Any questions or anything while everything catches up? Waiting for a YouTube. YouTube's about a minute behind, so let me give these guys a chance to ask questions too. All right, any individual stocks? Okay, Stuart wants to look at APP. APP. It looks okay. I wouldn't take it as a new setup. You had a nice little, it looked a lot better. Let's see, back here. You kind of have the mother of all trend knockouts there. Okay, that looks kind of interesting. But now it's kind of trading back and forth, back and forth. And you've been in this range for a couple of weeks, and it's kind of wide and loose. I think I would hold off on that. The other thing, too, is ideally, and not that I don't have stocks in my portfolio that I bought at very high levels, but ideally, especially now that the market's getting a little iffy, you probably want to try to find some stocks that haven't made this huge run with the overall market just yet. Now, that's kind of a loose statement there, but I think I would pass on that. It's definitely triggering, and I'm sure it's in my momentum list, and maybe the Landry 100, NESR. Now, that looks, now see, that's much better. Now, even though it's at fairly high levels, it looks pretty good. And that's a good eye, Stuart. So a lot of things that I've been talking about earlier. So you've got a gradual trend here, accelerating trend, little consolidation, thrust consolidation. It's not the cleanest stock in the world, but it does trade fairly cleanly. So, yeah, Stuart, if you had to pick between those two, forget about app. I would leave that one alone. This one looks okay. This one is not bad. Now, I'm starting to get a little bit more picky now that the market's getting a little iffy. When the market gets iffy, you better get picky. I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. But when the market gets iffy, you better get picky. That's pretty good. I'm going to write that one down. Maybe that's the title for this week's presentation. All right, while we're in impasse, keep typing them in if you have any more, but thank you for those, Stuart. Appreciate it. Any questions unanswered, Dave at DaveLandry.com. I think most of the guys here go to webinar or also in my Facebook group, so I'll see you there in a little while. Everybody else, hope to see you again next week. Everybody have a great weekend. Any unanswered question, again, Dave at DaveLandry.com. Again, have a great weekend, and may the trend be with you. Thank you. You're welcome.